The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her and said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this, the bearers halted and he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, exclaiming, "A great prophet has arisen in our midst, and God has visited his people." This report about him spread through the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding region. The Gospel of the Lord. The month of November is a month in which we meditate upon what are called the last things. The last things. If you study theology, it's called eschatology. Eschatology is the study of the last things, which is part of our spiritual exercises program. And they are the reality of death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. And this is all imbued with the key idea of eternity. So try to remember those key words and reflect upon them in the whole month of November. The reality of death, okay, death, judgment, heaven, hell, purgatory, and the enveloping, permeating idea of eternity. It's a good idea to meditate upon those every day of your life, at least for 3 minutes, maybe before you go to bed. Very, very, very sober, very sober, very serious topics. But how could anyone lose his soul if they meditate upon those 2 or 3 minutes a day? I think it'd almost be impossible. But if you got to be serious. One day you're going to die. We don't know when. As soon as you die, judgment. Right now we're in the time of mercy. With a death, no more mercy. Mercy's over. So take advantage of mercy now. Okay? Okay, death, judgment. And then there's 2 possibilities. And they would be either we're saved or we're damned. And we don't believe in reincarnation, as some Catholics ask me, "Father, do you believe in reincarnation?" No. I'm not a Buddhist. Are you? I'm not a Hindu. Are you? No. Catholics, we believe in what is called the Paschal Mystery, which is the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. Yeah. Paschal Mystery. Life, passion, death, resurrection. Different from Protestants. Okay, Protestants, if you ever talk with a Protestant, they don't believe in purgatory. They don't. So if they go to a cemetery, they're going to place maybe a couple of balloons, a teddy bear, or maybe some hearts, no? But you're not going to see Protestants kneeling down praying for the dead. Some sentimental gesture, balloons and teddy bear and something like that. Nothing wrong with that. But we go to the cemetery not simply to place balloons and teddy bears, we go there to pray, right? I hope so. I hope so. Because the sentimentalism is not going to get you anywhere. No? Prayer, fasting, and penance will. Amen? So I'd like to give you, I'd like to talk about three ideas on this very important day, All Souls. I'd like to give you an image given by St. John of the Cross. It's an image that all of you will all remember because it's very easy to remember. And it's related to the book of Revelation, and it's this. Only those who are absolutely pure and perfect can enter into heaven. Okay, would you go to a birthday party or a wedding with egg yolk on your face? Would you? Or with a chocolate mustache? Or with a dirty blouse? With your hair disheveled? Or with ripped pants? Probably not. You'd be pretty rude, huh? Uneducated. Heaven is a banquet. You can't go with egg yolk on your face. You can't. Or with your hair disheveled. Or with your shoes untied. You have to be well-dressed spiritually in your soul to get to heaven. That image is from the book of Revelation. This is what John the Cross says. So only the perfect can go to heaven. Okay, imagine a fire now. You have a bonfire. And you take a piece of iron that has been in your garage for 10 years. In the garage on the East Coast, we have real changes of weather, not like California, okay? Okay, that piece of iron is going to be rusty, right? It's there for 10 years. How are you going to get rid of the rust? You take that rusty piece of iron and you place it in a blazing fire. Is the rust going to come off that piece of iron right away? Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. That's going to take what? It's going to take a long time. And the dross, the rust that's surrounding that piece of iron, little by little, it's going to be falling off. And then after a long time, that piece of iron is going to be like the fire. That's a beautiful image, right? That's John of the Cross. So that's a soul in purgatory. Soul in purgatory goes there, and the selfishness, the egotism that the soul is still cloaked with has to be burnt away. In other words, if you die in mortal sin, you go to hell. No way around it. But if you die in venial sins in your soul, venial sins in your soul, or, listen to this, mortal sins that have been forgiven but not expiated enough. Well, there's two ideas here. Venial sins that you haven't been forgiven, or mortal sins that you committed but you haven't done enough penance for. Purgatory. Now, how long you have to stay in purgatory depends on how selfish you were when you died. It is said that St. Claude de la Colombière had to go to purgatory for just an instant. This is the spiritual director of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. Kind of scary, huh? Someone as holy as that man, what about us, huh? There's a real danger today in modern Catholicism with respect to funerals. Funerals today, often the person that dies is being unofficially canonized. Don't do that on my funeral, I beg you, okay? Please. Okay, do you want me to canonize you on the day of your funeral? Hello? No. And these are, you know the expression of a pious platitude, okay? Or a cliche? It's false comparison. They say, well, he's in a better place. How do you know? How do you know? He's in a better place. And then you hear this, well, he's no longer suffering. How the heck do you know? How do you know? Those are two things that are said over and over again. He's in a better place, and he's no longer suffering. And there he is in purgatory for 500 years. No? That's false compassion. That we laugh at that, but it's very dangerous. I'm a priest for 33 years. I've never said that in my life. A couple times I've said that that person is in heaven because it was a baby that died and was baptized. In that case, that baby's in heaven, right? Because the baby's original sin has been washed away and a baby hasn't committed any sin. The baby is innocent. But to canonize a person that has arrived at the age of reason, you look at that painting right near my confessional. I asked Father Larry to put it there. You can see children that are in purgatory. Children! Can children be selfish? Can they disobey? Can they lie? Can they fight with their brothers and sisters? Hey children, if you die, welcome to purgatory. And maybe a long time. A disobedient child, hey, you're heading for purgatory. You're going to be in fire. Oh, innocent little children. Baloney. Hogwash, as we say in New York. Malarkey. Don't think the children that die go right to heaven. If they die, they're babies. Children can be pretty cruel at times, huh? They can be mischievous, they can be disobedient, they can fight with their brothers and sisters, they can push them, they can bite, right? This is called original sin. So I love the doctrine of purgatory, but you have to understand, you know, only the perfect go to heaven. Let me tell you a story, and then I'll end on a very positive note. Otherwise, you're not going to sleep tonight. Okay? Okay. There's a great pope. His name is Gregory the Great. Okay. He's one of the last fathers of the Church. And Gregory the Great. This is the story you should all memorize. Every All Souls Day tell this story. Okay, Gregory the Great had a friend. And his friend was a very good person. And they made a deal. This was the deal. Whoever died first had to pray for the other one. So the friend died before Pope Gregory the Great. And the friend, he said, was a very good person. But he made known to Gregory that he was in purgatory, being a very good person. So what did Gregory do? He offered a Mass, then another Mass, then another Mass, then a week of Masses, then 2 weeks of Masses, then 3 weeks of Masses, then 4 weeks of Masses. And then after he finished praying a whole month of Masses, his friend said, "Ah, I'm finally in heaven." 30 Masses offered by a Pope that's a Father of the Church. You hear me? My father died 3 years ago. 3 years ago and 1 month. Those who know my father know he wasn't perfect, but he was a very good man. If it weren't for my father, he built schools for children and teenagers. The best Catholic school in New Hampshire last year academically was the school that my father built. These kids are going off to Ave Maria, you know, to become professionals in this country. You know the tree by its fruits. The fact that these young men and women are going to Catholic school and college is because my father, even though he died 3 years ago, I still pray for my father. He's probably had at least 500 masses offered for him. All over the country, in Mexico, tons of masses. And he was married to a saint. It happens to be my mother, okay? Really, my mom's a very holy woman who constantly prays for him. Okay, I say this. I hope he's in heaven. I hope he is. I'm not going to say probably, I'll say possibly he is. And when he lived, I would joke around saying, Dad, once you die, I'll canonize you. He'd get angry at me. Don't do that, son, no? So even the best of people have hidden lives that only God knows. Hello? Only the best. We all have our hidden lives that's in between you and God. We all have our secret sins, our secret fears, our secret attachments that only God knows. Okay, so up to this point, I've been scaring you a little bit, okay? So I'd like to end on a very positive note. Are you listening? Okay, don't zone out. Give me another 2 minutes, okay? All of you can receive a plenary indulgence, and you can offer this plenary indulgence for your loved one. We as priests can offer 3 masses today. This is my first mass. I have another mass at 11:30, then I have another mass at 2:30. If you want to come, you're more than welcome. You can receive communion twice, but priests can say 3 masses today. 3 different intentions for the Pope, for all the souls, and my own, the third would be my own special intention. 3 masses. Okay. How can you receive a plenary indulgence? These are the conditions. And I would try to memorize these. Okay, within a week, before or after, confession. Sacrament of confession. Second, is you go to Mass and you receive communion with a lot of love. Make a good confession and good communion. And that's the Divine Mercy image. See those images there? The white is confession, the red is communion. So maybe that can be a mnemonic device to trigger the whole idea. Third is you have to do some indulgence action that the Church requires to receive a plenary indulgence. Because there's a plenary indulgence and then there's a partial indulgence. Okay, there are many. I'll give you one. Okay, pray the rosary. But it has to be, pray the rosary either in front of the Blessed Sacrament, either exposed or in the tabernacle. Or if you can't do that, pray the rosary in your family. Okay, if you pray even just with your wife or your husband or your child, pray the rosary in your family. Next condition. Pray for the intentions of the Holy Father. You have to do that. If you don't do that, you're not going to get it. And that can be Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be. Okay, the last condition is the clincher. We have to be detached from affection to mortal sin and venial sin. So if after Mass you decide, well, I'm going to tell some white lies, I'm going to go off to McDonald's, I'm going to be chismosa and they start to gossip and I start to be looking at some bad stuff on the TV and I'm going to be telling white lies, that cancels it all. That cancels it all. Doesn't mean that we're not going to sin, but you have to make the firm commitment. Right now, I don't want any sin in my life. What does Ignatius say? Death rather than mortal sin, death rather than venial sin, even accept humiliation for Christ. If you have that disposition of heart, you can be divine firemen in which you're bringing souls from purgatory up to heaven right now. So I'm very ambitious. I personally want to empty purgatory today. Amen? I've got three masses. That's powerful. And I know it. It's almost scary. I got three masses. One mass is enough to save the whole world. What about three? So I'm very ambitious because purgatory, it's not a joke. It's a lot of suffering. That's why Francis de Sales says one of the greatest acts of charity we can do is to pray for the souls in purgatory. So try to apply the golden rule. Do to others what you want them to do to you. You certainly want people to pray for you, right? Let's do all we possibly can and maybe come back to the holy hour today at 1:30 and then we have another mass at 2:30 so you can receive communion twice and let's try by our good efforts today to empty purgatory. Amen.